Pushing Buttons, a video game podcast, part of the Geek Freaks Network. This is Kyle.
And I'm Frank.
And that is Frank. Yes, two of us are back again. And we just are fresh off of the Game Awards. We saw Elden Ring take home the big prize, which I'm personally really happy to see. But I know, Frank, you were rooting for God of War, but it is what it is.
I acknowledge Elden Ring was a very, very good game this year. It's one of those years, like we've been keep saying, you can't complain. We were happy on so many fronts.
Yeah, I mean, overall, it was a pretty good presentation. It gave us, you know, quite a lot of game reveals to sink our teeth into and get excited for in the coming year. And we thought this week, what better way to celebrate that than to give our thoughts on our most anticipated games of 2023. And I guess to kick things off, we can talk about the award itself during the Game Awards, the most anticipated game. And the one that took it home was, of course, The Legend of Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom. I would say easily this out of that list, this is my most anticipated game. How about you?
I've got maybe 15 games on my list, and that's not one of them.
Wow, that's something. That's something else.
I did not care for Breath of the Wild at all. And so
I know. You and Kevin both. Yeah. And that's a shame, but go ahead.
Yeah. Well, it's just one of those things where, you know, if you don't care for the first one, why would you like the second one? I hope it does well. I think it's going to do very well for those who like the game, like the world. But if it's going to still be on that Switch, it's going to struggle. And it's going to be on that Switch. So what are you going to do? They didn't announce a new Switch. That's what we should have gotten.
They didn't. Yeah, I think we've had the Switch now for 5 years, almost six. Mm-hmm. And yeah, the hardware is starting to show its age for sure.
Yeah.
And for me anyway, I felt like Breath of the Wild was a breath of fresh air. I've used this analogy before for the series. And I feel like what Tears of the Kingdom has the potential to do is to innovate upon that formula and make it even better than before. Like in regards to the first game, the dungeons were easily the least exciting part because, you know, they were constricting in how you approach the gameplay. But in the open world, you could experiment however you wanted with traversal and combat. So I think if they honed that aspect of the game and made the dungeons like a more fun interactive experience and, you know, open it up to player freedom, I think it'll only be a better game for it.
That's by far its strength. The parts I did like was when I would try to figure out how to get to point A to point B, or, oh man, these guys are whooping my butt. Let's think how I could approach this fight. That's by far its strength. And so if they were to do that for everything, the dungeons did just feel like a puzzle that was stopping the game for a while. So I think you're right there, 100%.
So with the other nominees, we had Resident Evil 4, Final Fantasy 16, Starfield, and I can't remember the other one.
Not a good
which
sign.
Which is not a good sign. Any of those strike out at you?
Starfield's on my list, section number one on my list. Bethesda doesn't make a new franchise often. Fallout, the Elder Scrolls. Oh my God, Frank, I swear. But I mean, like, they don't make new stuff very often. When they do, it's going to get a lot of gameplay, going to get a lot of story. We're not going to be disappointed. Even a bad, like, think about this, guys. Think of the worst Fallout game, Fallout 4, maybe.
Yes, I agree.
You still play the shit out of it. I've replayed that game 3 times now. Like, you still play it a lot.
You do. Yes. That's the strength of those games. They're highly replayable. So
adding another story to that franchise, one in space, I know I'm going to play it a lot. And I'm a fan of Outer Worlds. And Outer World is what we're looking at here, basically. So I think this is going to be a very welcomed addition to the industry. I think it's going to be, we need games like this because we're getting too many of those live service games like Fallout 76. Actually, that is the worst of the Fallout games if you want to include it.
True. Yeah, that's indeed the worst. I think it's going to be, you know, between these two games alone, it's a big year, but there's so many more. And that other nominee I've, you know, just looked it up is Hogwarts Legacy, which, know, for a lot of people, that's also hotly anticipated because we haven't really gotten a good Harry Potter game.
Yeah.
My wife in particular is really excited for it.
oh, Squeaks has already got his robe and his wand ready to go. I know that motherfucker's playing in a robe. I guarantee it. He's such a... We've already gone over which houses we are with him. He's so crazy for it. I'm like, should I start reading the books? Just to kind of like pick at him a little bit. And he's like, yes, here's my copies. He's like, crazy for it.
Yeah, I too was not a Harry Potter fan, but my wife got me into it. I did read the books, and yeah. I really enjoyed them. They were really great reads. But, you know, the movies took it to a new level. I did see all of those before reading the books. And with the game, it's actually shaping up to be really, you know, I think promising. I mean, there is some aspects of it that kind of look hokey. Like, it doesn't feel like a fully realized, like, open world game. I think there's going to be like sections you can transport in between two, you know, like going into the outer forests or whatever, right. Or going within Hogwarts, and it might be segmented. It won't be a true open world thing.
I think it's going to be that. I think it would have to be, right? Because yeah. If you were to like first off, a fully open world Hogwarts would be just so freaking cool, but that's a lot to ask for. And this game's already been delayed. I think a couple times really. And so
yeah.
I think I wouldn't be surprised if it gets delayed again, first of all. And to me, I'm worried about the mini games because I'm seeing a lot of things where it's like, oh, you have to learn this new thing with your wand. And it looks like a little mini game, and those can just kill a new game. So I'm hoping it's not bad, but I'm excited to see a Hogwarts that's not just Harry Potter. That's just the actual school.
My main worry about it is that it won't be polished enough. And what I mean by that is there'll be like gameplay segments that won't feel quite as intuitive to play. And they'll be like, you know, how do you control like wands or you know, controlling flying around the world or the forest or whatever.
Yeah.
And you know, all these different types of gameplay styles, will they mesh well together? And I think that's my main concern going into the game. But what they did nail was the atmosphere of Hogwarts itself. So that I think is its biggest strength.
So, I'm looking forward to that, but I want to throw out this real quick thing. Last year when we were doing our most anticipated game, you know what we said? We said game of the year. This is last year. We said game of the year is going to be either Elden Ring or God of War. We called that last year, guys. Throwing that out there. This year, here we go. Get ready for Frank's prediction. Game of the year
here we go.
Is going to be either Starfield or Star Wars Jedi Survivor. And that is going to be a day one purchase for me. It might be a collector's edition purchase for me. It comes with a lightsaber, boys, and it looks freaking cool. And so nice. I might be grabbing that. We also have, So let's talk about Star Wars Jedi Survivor. What do they need to build on from the first game? First off, the graphics already somehow look better, which I didn't think was going to be possible.
Yeah, we should mention we got a gameplay demo, and it was the only gameplay demo we got during the Game Awards.
Mm-hmm.
And wow, it looks fantastic. Like, I can't wait to continue this story and, you know, explore further the impact of the first game's ending.
Yes. Yeah. And I care about this character a lot more than I do a lot of other Jedis. I think Cal Kestis needs his own series at some point, like actual like Disney Plus series. I think that would be a really smart move.
Oh, no. I've said this before, but I think we should get a Star Wars movie with Tom Holland as Cal Kestis. And I know is like a, you know, dismissal of the original actor.
Yeah.
I mean, he could probably do it. I mean, that's probably a better call, actually. Now that I think on it.
He plays Joker in Gotham. He plays in Shameless. Yeah. He's a very good actor, actually. I would love to see him take the role. I think that would be such great casting. Because they do so much mocap. You could really just grab everybody from the game and put them into a live action. And I think it would be just making the story more accessible for others, I think, is a good move.
Like Chris Judge and Kratos. Like, there's that debate going on who should play Kratos. Oh, yeah. And you and I both agree, like, he should play him. He Kratos.
He said more lines in his speech than he did in the entire 60-hour game.
That was incredible. Like, I didn't know how that is possible, but it happened.
I think they didn't plan on playing music to get anybody off the stage until he was speaking. And then they had 5-6 minutes to figure it out and get music playing because, wow, he just... And poor Al Pacino.
That was a long acceptance
speech. Old Al Pacino just sitting there waiting to escort him back was like, my legs are hurting, bro. Let's call it a day.
Oh, I know. I felt bad for him. He must have been like weak at the knees at that point.
And about halfway through, he's even like, something about long speeches. Like, you know, bro, you know you're going too long. He's amazing, though. I was happy with it still. I'm happy he won. Okay, so yeah, Star Wars Jedi Survivor. Graphically, it's beautiful. I think it's going to be an excellent game, and I think it's one of the two big Game of the Year contenders.
That's a good pick. Yeah, I think that has a really good chance of going much further in the Game of the Year category than it did the first game, Fallen Order.
Yeah, well, Fallen Order, well, again, was one of the 2018 class. So
2019.
That was 2019. I thought it was 2018. Okay.
Yes, yes, yeah. What it was overshadowed by Sekiro. Oh. Which is a fantastic game, so.
Yeah, yeah. It was too hard for me to play, so it's stupid. There's a reason Elden Ring's stupid, too.
What can I say?
Yep. What's well, another one you're looking forward to?
Yeah, let me just knock out the other two nominees of that award for most anticipated. There was Final Fantasy 16, which we also got gameplay of. And that is shaping up to be really cool, actually. Like, it's getting me excited to play a Final Fantasy game, aside from the MMO again.
Yeah, and you know what? Yeah, really, actually, thinking of the next Game of the Year awards, that's a very big contender, and so is Zelda. And the Mario bias, I mean, not the Mario, the Nintendo bias might take the lead, actually. We're looking at
Nintendo hasn't won Game of the Year since Breath of the Wild, so I think this is their year again to take it.
Right. Gonna be a good year. I'm going to try this Final Fantasy. I'm going to try it out. That's my promise to you folks. I don't play them often, but I will play this one.
You know, I've been outspoken about Final Fantasy as a franchise for the main games, you know, since 13 came out. You know, there's so many tropes that have been overused, and we've seen that time and time again with 15 as well.
Mm-hmm.
14, you know, really departed from those, and it benefited because of that. And I think that's why it's able to stand on its own. But 16 will be a true return to the original Final Fantasy single player formula. And that's what I'm most excited to see, is if that will actually pay off. And with Yoshi P, the director of 14, you know, directing 16, I think we'll see that happen. He's a fantastic director, and he is so transparent with everything he does to his fans that I think he'll deliver the goods.
Do you think with a combination of Fallout 76 and Jedi Fallen Order, we have a new appreciation for the single-player story-driven games?
Well, yeah, after God of War Ragnarok, too. I think, totally.
Well, I'm not even that. So I'm saying, like, before, because, like, God of War Ragnarok, like, if we're looking at right now, we have a lot of them. We have a good amount of them. It was something that was real big back in the day. Then I remember when Jedi Fallen Order came out, the big deal was that, hey, guys, it's not going to be live service. It's actually just going to be a story game. And then the original God of War was that way too. Well, the original of the reboots.
No DLC to like extend the story.
Yeah. And then to double back on that, Fallout 76 was so atrocious that people were like, no, go back to the single player story driven game. So I wonder now that we're looking at 2023, we see these big hitters that are all that, Starfield and whatnot, that are all that. I wonder if those games kind of ushered in a resurgence of a classic genre, you know?
Oh, totally. Yeah. I think people, as a community of gamers, like, we're tired of these games that overstay their welcome. Like, you see that time and time again with games that feature battle passes or season passes and all that nonsense. And it's great to play a game such as God of War or Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order that are complete experiences from start to finish. And we need more of those because, you know, they're kind of dying out a little bit. Until Sony ironically brought them back with Last of Us and God of War.
Last of Us is good.
And other games like Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order.
Yeah. Who knew? Who knew Sony would make such good Western storytelling games? I think a new franchise that will be in that vein is Forspoken. I have a lot of faith in Forspoken. It's supposed to come out this year and it got pushed back. I'm a little concerned by my hype. It reminds me of Biomutant. I thought Biomutant was going to be very good and it fell flat on his face. I'm hoping it's good. Have you seen much for Forspoken?
Outside of the trailers, no, but they did announce a demo for PlayStation 5. Did you download it?
I did not, but will be immediately after this.
Yeah.
What? Holy shit.
Yeah, there's a demo that came out for the Game Awards. Yeah.
Oh my God. See, I had to leave early.
Well, I'm glad I could deliver that good news to you.
I appreciate that. I will be playing the hell out of that. The traversal in that game, the speed, like the combat in the game is lightning fast. Can't wait to try that out. That's going to be cool. Open world, fast pace. I mean, it's everything I want. That's cool.
Going in a different direction, I just want to you know, briefly mention this, like the other nominee, Resident Evil 4 Remake.
Oh, that's right.
Like, to me, along with the Dead Space remake, I'm super excited as a horror fan because, you know, Callisto came out earlier this month and, you know, it was okay. It wasn't the best game. Like, I think its main detriment was that it was trying to market itself as a Dead Space spiritual successor, but it did not deliver that at all. Oh, it was more of like a spiritual successor to The Last of Us, and it was just straight linear gameplay, and it wasn't very, you know, open. But going into the new year, we have the Dead Space remake and the Resident Evil 4 remake, and I'm really excited to revisit those worlds. And I think both Capcom and EA Motive are going to knock these out of the park. Like, just from how open they've been with the design process and how they're rebuilding these assets and redesigning things for like a new perspective, like delving deeper into the horror. That's exciting to me, and I can't wait to play them.
Yeah, that's Dead Space is on my list. I'm starting to venture into that horror genre a little bit more. Alien Isolation was a really good game when I was playing that.
Oh, fantastic.
Yep. You know, and so I'm trying to dive into it. And I think I was going to get Callisto Protocol, but of course, just bad timing, right? We just had way too many damn games to play. I don't know how you ended up beating it amazingly.
Well, I felt invested because I was really looking forward to it. And out of everybody on this network, like, I was the main advocate for it.
You're the horror guy, honestly. You're the horror game
guy.
It
did fall short of its goals. And I think, you know, with time, if there's a sequel, I would love a sequel to it. Hmm. I think it could really become a great franchise.
Which was worse, Callisto Protocol or Scorn?
Scorn.
That's pretty
easy. That's easy. That's not even a no-brainer.
I'm looking forward to Dead Space, though. I'm going to be getting that. I think as much as I heard you talk praise of it, I'm looking forward to getting into it. I've actually listened to Small Beans. It's one of my favorite podcasts. Actually, I'm behind on them, but I'm a patron. They did a really good deep dive on the story of it, and it was very, very interesting. Worth checking out.
Oh, I love the Dead Space lore. Like, one of my favorite all-time horror stories. It's incredible.
I'm going to throw out the next one for me. It's going to be Suicide Squad, Kill the Justice League. I already was looking forward to this, right? I eventually will play Gotham Knights, too. I just got to throw that out there. But I'm already looking forward to this. But the fact that we have Kevin Conroy now playing Batman in it,
that is so bittersweet.
I wonder, do you think he might kind of maybe get a nod or at least a nomination for Performance of the Year?
Good question. I think with everything else that's coming out, I don't know if he'll win it. Mm-hmm. As far as nomination goes, probably will.
Yeah. Or at least an honorable mention maybe at the Game Awards. I would appreciate for them to do that because, you know, this is exciting because it's going to be his final ride as Batman.
Yeah.
But let's not forget that all the Arkham games, I mean, so good in those. So did he play in every one of the Arkham games?
I did.
Did Kevin Conroy play in all of them?
Yes. Yeah. Except for Origins, which was the prequel. I think that was somebody else. But I did play Arkham Knight for the first time because I was waiting for something for some reason to play. I don't know why it took me this long. But wow, it just really hits harder now that Kevin Conroy's gone.
Yeah.
And that ending just hits so much harder. And it's kind of nice that we're getting a little bit more before he's gone forever. And
it's a shame he's a Batman and we're going to have to like beat his ass up. But or he's a bad guy. I said Batman, but a bad guy. Yeah.
Not even then, but Rocksteady, like they haven't had a game since Arkham Knight. So I'm also really curious to see how they take that formula further. Because they're a fantastic development studio, too.
They are. They make good stuff. What do you got next on your list?
Well, we got some indies that I'm looking forward to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, can't go wrong with the indies. My biggest one is going to be Hollow Knight Silksong.
Oh, that's right.
Will it come out next year? I hope it does. It's going to be on Game Pass. It was shown off in the summer showcase for Xbox in 2022. And I can't sing enough praises of Team Cherry. Like, they're incredible game developers. Team of Three made that incredible game, Hollow Knight. It's been almost 6 years now since it came out.
It's a gorgeous game. Like, oh, it's man.
So beautiful. Like, everything about it is incredible. Like, the sound, the music.
The combat is crisp and clean, man. It's crazy.
Yeah, combat feels really good once you get further enough in the game. And
yeah,
just the visual art style is, I love it. I love everything about it. I can't wait for Silksong.
Yeah, I totally spaced on that. That's a good one. Would you consider Hades 2 an indie game?
At this point, yeah. I think Supergiant is still indie. They had a really great trailer with Hades 2. That was, I think, the biggest surprise of the show was seeing a sequel to Hades. Because, as you mentioned, this is the first sequel we've ever gotten to a Supergiant game.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really curious to see how they'll take the formula even further. It looks like they're going to be doing more of the same, but hopefully in a bigger, broader sense.
Different story. I was already just going to be on board, of course, but then they showed just a little bit of the gameplay and I was like, oh my God, that's Hades. Like, it actually feels like Hades again. We're just getting early access, so I don't know how much we can say it's anticipated. Like, it's not going to be full release, won't be game of the year stuff, but
indeed.
Does it mean that I won't be as fast as possible in that early access? I was reading a little bit today on the early access process for the original Hades game and how much the game changed and updated throughout time. And I'm excited to jump in on that and see how Supergiant changes the game over time, because they're such a perfectionist team. I would like to see how much they're going to hammer this thing out.
Yeah, I think over time, Supergiant always knocks it out of the park. Like, we know that they deliver quality.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it'll be really cool to see how they change up the formula for Hades with Hades 2.
Yeah.
Another indie I was really happy to see more of during the Game Awards was Replaced. This was that pixel art that kind of looked 3D. It takes place in like an alternate 80s and it looks really like dystopian sci-fi. And I thought it looked amazing. Like, this game looks incredible. I don't know how the gameplay will be, but just visually, like, I'm all in. It looks really cool. Really unique.
That trailer was cool to watch. Make sure you guys check out the trailer. I think we may have retweeted it. If not, I'll try to find it and retweet it. But it was just a very neat art style that I hadn't seen before.
Yeah, the blend of like 3D graphics with pixel is just, yeah, it's awesome. Like, I can't wait to see more of it.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, any more indies you want to do before we go? Because I don't know if my games would be considered indie.
You know, as far as indie goes, those are my top picks. I think we haven't really, I'm sure there's more in the works that we're forgetting to mention, but there's just so many great games coming out next year. It's hard to cover them all.
Yeah. Just a follow up real quick. I'm going to keep this in because people listen to Geek Freaks and then they listen to Pushing Buttons afterwards. They come out the day or a couple of days afterwards. Jonathan just texts me. He's like, I just found the TikTok with that Avatar trailer. It does says hashtag fan made. And he's got the sad face on there. He falls for fan made content all the time. All guys. The time. I can't tell you how many times if you sent me something from fan made. And he's like, did you see this? I'm like, yeah, bro, that guy did a good job on it, but it's not real. That's so funny. He's such a geek. Okay. I'm going to throw out Black Myth Wukong. This is
one
of the first, I think it's the first really AAA title out of China, original development and anything like that. I'm happy to see China get into this game because we see that they have avid players. You'd think that they'd be avid developers. And this kind of game is very different from the kind of game we would expect out of China. It's less gotcha, less stuff like that, less live service spammy or anything like that. But this is actually like a full-fledged, single-player, story-driven game out of China. Combat looks fast and fresh, and it's going to be delving into the lore of China. Wukong, of course, is one of their mythical creatures or characters. And then we have a lot of the people he's fighting are also from that genre, which I know very little about. So I'm excited to learn more. It's much like when you're playing that God of War, and you're like, yeah, I know who Thor is and Loki and stuff. But then when you're like listening to Mimir tell these other stories, you're freaking on board. That again, but for China, I'm excited for.
Yeah, Black Myth, it's a whole new development studio. I think they have a lot of potential to deliver a very, you know, similar experience to Dark Souls and Bloodborne and all that, but still be, you know, their own individuality, like be unique with it. And you know, we don't really get a lot of games that center on Chinese folklore or mythology.
Yeah.
And, you know, from my perspective, I'm just more keen on learning more about that as an individual, like getting that aspect of you know, where a lot of Chinese philosophy or, you know, culture comes from. And
yeah,
combining that with a Souls-like game is like the best way to get me interested. So sign me up.
Yeah, it looks really cool. Again, that combat's really fast too, in comparison to what you'd expect from a Souls-type game. So I look forward to seeing how they're going to be able to mix and match that, because it's almost action adventure with its pace.
It is. If we're also, since we're jumping off of that, Lies of P, I think that looks really cool as well as another Souls-like game.
It's
taking that steampunk, you know, era and having like mechanical monsters that you fight. I think that's going to be really cool.
Is
really cool setting, Victorian era.
Okay. And you're saying that it's made out of China or no?
No, I believe it's a Korean studio.
Korean. Okay.
They showed off a bit of it during the summer showcase.
That's right.
I think, I'm not sure if it was for Sony or no, Sony wasn't there. I think it was Microsoft. And yeah, Lies of P just looks like a gothic Victorian era Souls-like, kind of like Bloodborne, but more mechanical in design. Because the main character you play is Pinocchio.
Okay, now I remember right away. Now that you said that.
I was trying to, get you to remember that one.
Yeah.
I think it looks promising. Combat looks a bit, you know, not as polished as, say, like Sekiro or Bloodborne. But I think it'll still be unique enough to, you know, pay the price of admission to experience.
Let's go to Hellboy, which was revealed at the Game Awards. One thing I'm happy they're doing is they're using the animation style. It looks straight up out of comic book. It's drawn much like the comic book. So it's going to be dark, gritty, heavy lines, a lot of shading. I look forward to seeing that it's going to show up. I kind of think this would have been better I think it would have done well as a Telltale type style game, but this looks like it's going to be actually combat driven. So, hey, let's go. I'll play as Hellboy. I'm cool with that. Can't complain.
Oh, totally. Yeah. There's a lot of cool games that are, you know, comic focused. I think we're finally going to get Wolf Among Us Part 2.
Yeah.
The sequel slated to that 2014 Telltale game. Like, I love Wolf Among Us. One of my all time favorite Telltale games. And, you know, we haven't seen it really lately, but I'm hoping they'll make a full release this year.
I've got one for sure on my list.
Go ahead. Sure.
Well, okay. Either way, you're probably going to mention it soon. Diablo 4.
Yep. We got a release date during the Game Awards for June 26th, I think. I could be wrong. I haven't played Diablo 3 yet, so I can't say I'm highly anticipating this, but I'm sure you are, and especially Kevin too.
Yeah. So we're going to play that together on the stream, and you guys are going to watch him play Diablo 3 for the first time. And I'm probably going to return to my Witch Doctor. I love my Witch Doctor. What class would you play in Diablo 3?
Let's see. In Diablo 2, I picked the Necromancer, and I really liked it a lot. So I'll probably go with that again.
Okay. Necromancer, I'm trying to think. They play very different, I think, than Diablo 3. But yeah, still worth trying out. I think
they're more like Death Knights in WoW. They summon undead creatures to fight for them. And it was really fun to play that style, because I'm not like that in WoW. I play a hunter.
Yeah. So. Well, you do summon an awful lot. In Diablo, I play Witch Doctor, which also kind of has that same gameplay. I'm always bringing up like goblins or pestilence and stuff like that. Everything just kind of like throwing everything at the wall and just watching just crumble down. It's fun. What else you got on your list over there?
Yeah, there's some post-apocalyptic shooters I'm really looking forward to playing. The first one is Atomic Heart. We got a new trailer for that as well during the Game Awards. That is actually looking pretty great. Like, the more we've seen of it, it looks like it's going to be a really crazy fun time.
God, it's going to be a good year. The boss battles in that game are outstanding looking.
Yeah, the boss battles look really intense. And then we got robot waifus. Like, that sounds great. Sign me up.
What? I did not see that. I'm looking that up. Hold on, that's cool. I'm writing these all down so I can look them up later on.
And not to mention, along with that, we got a release date for Atomic Heart finally, which is in February. Man, those first 3 months of the year are going to be so packed. It's insane.
It's hard because the first 3 months of 2023 are great. The last 3 months of 2022 have been great. I mean, we don't have time to stop. That's crazy.
I know. Like, summer kind of feels like the slow time now, which it, I guess it always has been in the past. Like, it's always kind of been, you know, spring or winter releases mm-hmm. where the big ones come out.
Yeah, we use that time to stay in theaters and watch movies, and then we go once it gets cold and we lock ourselves away. That's when we, oh yeah, we play WoW, of course. That's year-round. And then we lock ourselves away.
But also in tow with Atomic Heart, like another post-apocalyptic game I'm looking forward to that's finally coming out is Stalker 2, Heart of Chernobyl.
Yeah.
That was going to come out this year, but I got delayed to 2023. I think it was the right call. And we did get some more gameplay of that this year as well. And that looks pretty badass too. Like, I love the Metro series. I don't know if you played those, mm-hmm. but those are fantastic shooters.
Yeah.
And Stalker 2, sign me up. I'm all for it.
That's on a lot of people's top like 10 most anticipated game for 2023. It's one of those games that I'll play eventually, but not in a bigger, like the Metro games I play here and there, you know, and I haven't played a lot of them, but I need to. I'll do the same thing with Atomic or with that one. God, I already forgot that Stalker 2. There it is. I haven't written it down yet. That's the problem. I got to write it all down.
I'll mention this for Kevin, because I know he's really looking forward to this. He really wants to play Star Trek Resurgence.
Yes.
I believe that's like a Telltale style game for Star Trek, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it looks like you're playing as the captain too. That should be cool. Fingers crossed that it comes out in time. Hopefully it's not terrible. It's hard because Star Trek games are really hit and miss. Talk about hit and miss.
I was going to say, I think they are.
One good one. That's tough. One good one in recent memory. Sorry, let me clarify, because a lot of the old ones are very good. But yeah, I'm going to throw out Pikmin 4 as well. I like the Pikmin series. I think it's something that Nintendo doesn't advertise very often, but they're actually very good games. And a little puzzler, a little bit of army building games. So Pikmin 4 is coming out, and it looks, if they're going to build on what they've done with the Pikmin Wii U version, which they recently released back onto the Switch and polished it up a little bit, and it was gorgeous. So Pikmin 4, it's somehow going to be even better looking than that. Okay, let's see what you do.
So I want to kind of go over some games that, you know, are coming out next year, but I think it'd be kind of fun to kind of explore why they're not anticipated for us. What do you think?
Yeah, that'd be a good idea. Yeah.
So one of the big ones is Redfall. This is Arkane Studios, their follow-up to Deathloop. Mm-hmm. It's not a sequel, but it's like their next game.
Yeah.
And it's more like a co-op shooter, more so than a single player. What's the genre? Like immersion? I can't remember now.
Yeah, but this one's going to be kind specific of a Left 4 Dead type of thing.
Immersive sim. That's what it's called.
Okay.
It's their next immersive sim, but it's co-op based. And I'm not sure if that will work in that setting, because, you know, what makes immersive sims so great are that they're immersive. They're single player, which allows you to really delve in and, you know, give you player freedom to solve problems in a myriad of ways. But I think with Redfall being a vampire loot based shooter, it's not going to work as well. So that's kind of why it's not so hyped up for me.
Am I mistaken? Isn't it in the same world as the Vampire Masquerade series?
I don't think so. No.
I thought it was. Okay.
I really want this to be a good game, but I just don't know if it'll work because of the co-op aspect. I think you can't really let yourself live in the world as immersively as I would like, so to speak.
Squeaks is dogging on this game so hard already. I remember we watched the trailer together, and he was just like, "What is this hot shit?" I'm like, "Give it a shot. You don't know." And he's like, right away, he's like, "Nope, this is going to be garbage." Okay, man. And this is the same guy that buys me tickets to IMAX 3D Avatar 2, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, I have no, I mean, like, I'll watch it because I know pop culture wise and podcasting wise, I should watch it, but I'm not as excited as you are. He's like going to be wearing blue makeup to the freaking theaters, I think. Oh my God.
Yeah, that's another topic for another time, I think, with Avatar. Because it's been 13 years, right? It's like the hype train has long gone. And, you know, while it looks fantastic, it's like I don't really feel that same feeling I did when I saw the first, like the lead up to the first one was huge.
I don't have any of that hype. James Cameron's way too confident. That bugs me. And he's just like, it's good. You know, that doesn't help. But yeah, Seth Meyers brought up the point where it's like, it's faster to get to Pandora than it is to make Avatar 2. That's pretty bad because they have to go to Stasis for that one. So you could get to Pandora and almost back in time. But
and we also had, you know, innovative technology, because that movie was like the first big 3D movie.
Yeah.
With the glasses and everything. Like, that was the first movie I ever saw 3D.
Right. Yeah, well, yeah. And I saw it multiple times all in 3D. What's funny, though, is this one being in 3D and everybody's pushing the 3D on it, it feels very retro. As we've, the phase of 3D has come and gone.
It's crazy.
This new phase of 3D, it's been, you know, it's been around. So it's kind of like, oh yeah, old school. Let's get the 3D glasses again. I don't do this anymore. And it's funny that like before it's pioneering it, now it's like a throwback. It's, that's how
freaking long. What's the last 3D movie you saw?
Guardians of the Galaxy 1. I watched it. I watched that multiple times in theaters. One of them was in 3D. Yeah.
I think mine was, oh God. No, it wasn't Blade Runner 2049.
Oh, that's pretty recent.
It was a while ago. I think it was around that point, 2014, 2015.
Okay, yeah.
I can't remember, though.
Yeah. And well, we're going back, boys. We're going to watch Avatar in 3D. We'll see how it is.
So speaking of other topics for other times, let's hit our favorite tried and true topic, Ubisoft.
Oh, boy. Yeah, there we go. Kevin's turning over
Assassin's Creed Mirage. What do you... Are you excited for the new Assassin's Creed?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, because I'm hoping it'll build on the successes they've made so far. I like Assassin's Creed. I just do. So I'm excited for everything, but I don't think it's coming out this year. Is it coming out in 2023?
Yeah, Assassin's Creed Mirage is first half of 2023.
Oh shit. Oh my God.
We had that whole Ubisoft showcase from I think October or September.
Right. I didn't think it was so soon. Okay.
The Assassin's Creed showcase.
Yeah. I am looking forward to that, actually. I think that's going to be, because that one is specifically, they're like using a lot of the elements from the first game. This is one of the, I mean, I know we just spent an entire year saying this year's as good as 2018. That's never happened in a long time, blah, 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 blah. 2023 is going to possibly outpace 2022. That's so crazy. Assassin's Indeed. Creed Mirage is a purchase for me. It is a very early purchase for me. Yeah, possibly day one.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm
Assassin's Creed.
Wait, because, you know, I still haven't played Odyssey or Valhalla, and I'm way behind at this point. But
I'm
if Mirage is its own standalone thing, I'll probably jump into it.
Yeah.
Indeed.
But this one's kind of, so what they're doing at Ubisoft, I forgot about this conference. Now I'm remembering all the details to it. We talk a lot of stuff on Geek Freaks, guys. I'm sorry. But yeah, what they're doing is they're basically splitting up both gameplays into two different kinds of Assassin's Creed games. So we have the Valhalla Origins version, and we have the OG Assassin's Creed version, where it's much more assassin and city-based. That's what this game's going to be, is like the OG version of it, which I am so much more on board with those. I like the other ones too. You guys know me in open world games, but I haven't played one of these in a while, and I'm excited to get back into those. This is basically what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's a return to form, basically. Exactly. And that's the most exciting part about it. But I'm waiting with bated breath here. Kind of like with Skull and Bones, too. That's also coming out next year.
Bullshit. Never coming out. That game is never coming out. Absolutely never.
That's been delayed so many times. Yeah. It's like, I just don't care anymore.
They recently showed a trailer for it. It must have been at the thing. And I was just like, oh, that's right. This is still a thing. It's still, I mean, it was like, okay, so just to kind of give you guys an idea of how long it's been, they got the idea from Assassin's Creed 4. That's where they got the idea for this game.
I think that's when it was first announced.
Yeah.
Was around that time too.
Because that's the sailing was introduced in that game. And so they're like, oh, okay, well, we'll just build off of that. So they went with it.
And in line with long delayed game releases, we got Dead Island 2 coming out next year, finally.
Yeah.
But I think, again, it's like too little too late.
Yeah, I know Daniel will play and review that for us. That's what
2023 is.
Yeah.
It's the off-delayed games and movies that are finally coming out in 2023.
It's the year of anticipation and possible disappointment. Get that tattooed, boys.
There's a lot, a lot to cover.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to a lot of it, though. I'm hoping for the best. I know we have some tried and trues that are coming out, Diablos. Even a bad Diablo is a good Diablo. Or a bad Diablo is a good game. A Starfield, same thing. A bad game out of Bethesda is still a good game overall. Forspoken's the one that's going to disappoint me the most. I have a feeling. I am putting a lot
on
that one. I am playing the demo today. I'm playing the demo after this. I'm not going to edit this right away. I'm going right to my PS5 and downloading that. And hopefully I'm not going to...
Maybe I'll join you with that.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll download it too. We'll see.
You're gonna see me in Discord tonight, be like, "Stupid Forsaken, it's dumb." I'm gonna play. Oh man, but it should be good.
Let's see. I think that about covers it for me. How about you?
I think we're good. I think we got a lot to look forward to. Let us know on our social media, guys. Which game are you most excited about? And which one are you a little worried is going to disappoint you? Black Myth might disappoint us too, because it's a big jump for that.
Maybe. I think Lies of P will be kind of disappointing.
Yeah.
But then again, it's trying to be the next Bloodborne, so I don't know if that'll be, you know, paying off for them. But yeah, we'll see.
Generally, at Geek Freaks, we try to stay on the positive side of things. So there's always going to be something good about all these games. Like Gotham Knights, for example. Yeah, it's not a perfect game. It's not as good as you thought it would be, but Squeaks is loving the shit out of it. People find love in it. So yeah, I think we'll find that with pretty much all of these games here too.
Oh, Fire Emblem Engage is one I am actively not going to play, because Fire Emblem today is not anywhere close to the quality it used to be.
If you like the Fire Emblem of old, Advance Wars is supposed to come out this year now. It was supposed to come out last year, too. But they had to delay it because of Ukraine invasion.
I know. That'd be good, I think.
Yeah, that'll be good. And if you like that kind of combat, you know, planning out the combat, I love me Advance Wars. So that'll be coming out soon, hopefully.
Oh, and Death Stranding 2, I think, is coming out next year.
Which, no way.
After playing the first one.
Already?
Well, they announced it last night.
Yeah, I know. But
on the Game Awards, but.
Yeah, but you'd think that they would announce it for 2024. I would assume.
We don't have a date, but you know, it could come out next year.
Yeah.
Maybe.
You know what's ruining it to me is Marvel. Marvel announces things, you know, 5 years in advance. So I'm expecting everything to be out 5 years. You're right, though. Yeah, it probably is going to be out. Damn, 2023 is going to be a very hard year. Holy cow. And World of Warcraft is good right now, too. That's what's nuts.
Yeah, we got possibly 2 patches next year. I don't know. It's going to be a crazy time.
I'm hoping that after the raid, which comes out, after this episode comes out, I'm hoping the raid, once it comes out, they announce the patch schedule. If they do that, Blizzard is straight up listening to the fans 100%. That would be so impressive. Mm-hmm. Blizzard has been impressing me a lot lately, and we could only say that because Kevin's not on the show.
Yeah, and with the whole Microsoft acquisition under question now, with the FTC lawsuit, it's like, oh shit, what's going to happen now?
Who knows? That's a shame. I was really rooting for that to go through because I know how good Microsoft treats their partners. And I don't think it's going to go through now with that. With FTC getting involved, that's the one that'll stop it, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's too bad.
I think I'm out.
I think I'm good too.
Other things to talk about. That's it. But let us know what your most anticipated or least anticipated game is for 2023 in our socials. We got Twitter. We also have Discord, our community, where we get together for community night once a month. We just played another night of Phasmophobia. Oof. It was awesome.
Don't go to high school.
Don't go to the high school. Yeah, that's terrifying.
We do need a fourth player, though. So if anybody wants to sign up for the community nights, please join our Discord. There's the event. I'll set it up soon. The next one. But that high school is terrifying. We didn't even encounter a ghost.
That's too much.
I think, did you encounter a ghost at all while we were in there?
I think I heard one, but I didn't see it because it was just too oppressive of an environment. I had to get out of there.
We spent the entire time in high school just freaking out and then like, okay, bye, we're done. Pick a ghost. Okay,
we just walked through it once and then we were like, nope.
We'd make the worst ghost hunters.
We would.
Last night, by the way, this mother putter killed me last night because we're like, oh, let's light the candle so we can see if it blows it out. And instead, you sure light that candle, but you also light all the red ones, which then traps the ghost for a moment and gets into attack mode. And my job is to take a nice picture of the ghost. So I'm trying to get a nice clear shot. Okay, guys, I got a good one. I turn around. They're gone. So I go sprinting after these two, and you know, you can only sprint for so long. All of a sudden I'm dying out of breath, and then I'm dying and then the ghost kills me.
The $25 daily reward was just too tempting. I couldn't pass that up.
I lost 50% of all money made in that game.
Well, to be fair, I died later in same contract. So there you go.
That ghost was very aggressive. That was a very angry ghost. Oh man. All right, that is it we're done talking, guys. We'll see you guys next week.
Bye. Have a Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, and have a Happy New Year.
Yep.
Peace.
Peace.
Love you.